Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Post-Prize Depression Division here at Car Talk Plaza. Well, by now you've all heard that the Nobel Prizes have all been given out. And once again, my brother was passed over. I think the problem basically is that they don't have the right prize for you.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You know, physics, chemistry, economics. I mean, if they had a Nobel Prize for being a cheapskate, you'd be a lock, man.
I would.
You would.
Well, why don't they give one? I want a prize for something.
Well, you're not going to get any prizes. You don't
deserve
any prizes.
My wife always says that to me. You're a real prize. You know that?
Well, obviously.
What does she mean by that?
We do need an award of our own to give out. Don't you think?
That's right. If we're not going to get a Nobel, we'll go in business for ourselves.
We can give out prizes to other people so we can get the joy of
I understand.
Giving.
We'll become the Nobel of something.
Well, we're going to ask our listeners to nominate people, and then we'll pick the winners.
Do you remember a few years ago, didn't we give the prize, the Smoke and Mirrors Award, to Lee Iacocca?
Yes.
Because the guy had managed for 15 years to run a company that made one car and convinced the whole world that he made 10.
Pretty good, huh?
I think that's what we need. Smoke and Mirrors Award.
Well, among others.
Among others.
So you can even pick the award. You can pick what you want the category to be.
You're asking our listeners?
Yes, our listeners.
Both of them?
Yes.
To send in ideas? Is this the idea?
Send ideas for an award and a potential recipient of the award. And
you would so you would say, I think the Smoke and Mirrors Award should go to Iacocca.
I think the Smoked Sausage Award. You can make any award that you want. You can devise the award and nominate.
I love it.
A potential recipient.
You know why I like this?
I have no idea.
We're going to get tons of mail. I love mail, man.
Anyway, if you have a nominee in mind.
What if someone had an idea for this? What would they do about it?
Send that idea to Awards Committee, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
02238. You don't need the Mass anymore. Just
no, you don't. You don't even need Cambridge.
You don't even need...
You do need our fair city. All you need is 02238. That's all.
Good enough.
Awards Committee 02238 would do it. Try it.
Now, if you have a question about your car...
Just a question, a comment also. Some people just want to vent their spleens, so to speak. We don't always have to have questions. It's hard to answer questions. It's much easier to just say, uh-huh, uh-huh, you're right. Right?
Huh? Ditto. Stuff,
yeah. Ditto. Ditto is good.
Yeah.
See, okay. We can come up with 100 ways to say, uh-huh.
Well, the show would be a lot easier if we weren't on the spot to answer questions.
if we could
nod or nod off.
You do nod off occasionally, don't you?
Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Colleen. I'm calling from Lombard, Illinois.
Colleen.
Lombard, Illinois.
Lilac capital of the world.
Oh, really?
No kidding.
Well, maybe not of the world.
For 2 weeks of
you
the
made
year.
It up,
exactly.
You?
Yeah, that's. I mean, lilacs are great, but...
They're kind of short-lived.
I mean, 2 weeks, come on.
Unfortunately, almost every year we have a lilac festival and we have a parade and everything, and the lilacs, the last few years, have died before the actual parade.
Well, I know that we have them in our yard, and usually you have to dig them out of the snow to see them. Because it's there's snow on the ground.
Well, that's a bad thing.
Oh, well. Yeah, anyway, Colleen, what can we do?
Well, here's, I don't know what you can do. I'm not really sure if this question is about my dad's car or about my dad.
Oh.
So here's the deal. I called the other day and I say, listen, you guys want to go to the show? He's 80, my mom's 75. He said, yeah, that's fine, but I have to drive. And I said, well, why is that? And he says, well, because I just got a new pair of brakes. And I said, well, what does that have to do with anything? And he said, well, for the first 500 miles, I'm the only person that can drive the car, number one. He tells me this. I said, well, who told you that? Well, my mechanic told me that. I said, well, what's the other reason? He said, well, you have to vary your speed for the first 500 miles from between 35 miles an hour, 50, 45, whatever. Hmm. And I said, well, says who? He says, my mechanic. And I said, Dad, where are you driving like this? He says, I'm 59. Is right outside of his house. It's 50 miles an hour there. And so he's going 35, 50, 40, 30. So I'm like, Dad, one of two things is going to happen. A, you're going to get killed, or you're going to kill somebody else.
Oh, someone's going to kill you.
that was option B at the very least. You're going to really honk off a lot of people. Plus, I don't believe that that's true.
Who's his mechanic?
Yeah, I think maybe he was just trying to get him to leave the shop. So he said, you know, my dad's trying to talk him into it. So basically, I should drive the car only, right? And the guy's going, yeah, yeah.
Right, exactly.
I don't know.
We frequently do that with my brother.
Okay, so the issues are, A, if you get new brakes, should one person only drive the car?
Yeah, and it's a 98 Chevy Lumina, in case you care.
Doesn't matter.
We knew that.
Okay.
B, do you have to vary the speed that you drive at if you get new brakes? And C, how are we going to break this to Dad?
Well, I mean, to be fair to Dad and his mechanic, modern brakes do require a break-in.
Break-in, period.
Okay, but that's usually accomplished by the guy who put the brakes in. And frequently we will put new brakes on a car, and we'll take it out, and the first few stops are not very good. And the brakes do require a wearing-in period because these new fangled metallic brakes do require that they seat into the disc rotors, especially if the rotors have been machined. They have to kind of find a home. And the braking effectiveness is improved as the brakes wear in.
But this happens very fast. And first of all, to describe it in terms of miles doesn't make any sense. Because what if he got into his car and drove 500 miles without stopping?
Yeah. And usually this break-in period is accomplished when we take a car out. By the time we've test-driven it for 10 or 15 minutes, the brakes are sufficiently broken in. And if they haven't, then there's something wrong. You know, so the idea that 500 miles and one driver has to do it is insane. I think, Colleen, he doesn't like the way you drive.
No, actually, he told me it would be fine after the 500 miles.
I don't think so. There'll be another excuse. I mean, don't forget, you could have driven over there and taken them in your car.
No, I have a pickup. So, and it's
an
extended pickup, but it will only fit two people comfortably.
Oh, were they the ones who suggested the pickup?
No.
Because that would preclude your driving, wouldn't it?
It would.
I think that it goes. I think Dad made the whole thing up.
You think it goes deeper than that?
I think it goes real deep, and you drive stinko.
Yeah.
And they want to keep you away from the car when they're in it.
All right. Well, thank you guys.
All right, Colleen.
Colleen, thanks for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
1-888.
It's got to be her driving.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I'm
She's going to be a wacko.
Yeah.
Like Lucille, our sister Lucille. Whenever someone has to go someplace, Lucille will say, "Oh, I'll drive." Oh no.
No, that's all right. Even though she's got the only car that carries a lot of people.
Yeah.
We went out and bought a little bus just so she wouldn't say, well, everyone will fit in my car. We said, no, we'll be much more comfortable in the school bus.
1-888-CAR-TALK.
She says, can I drive the school bus?
888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi there. This is Peter from Boston.
Boston?
Boston, Mass?
Actually, Dorchester.
Dorch! What part of Dorch?
Do you know Dorchester?
Fields Corner.
Oh, you're classic then. Let's see. I'm in Lower Mills.
Lower Mills, not far away.
No.
Not far away.
Very good.
Yeah. So what's up?
Well, I'm calling because I have a Ford Explorer that is doing some pretty crazy stuff.
It isn't doing any backflips or anything.
No. Okay.
No. All right.
Blue smoke is kind of puffing out of my car when I start it. I've been putting transmission fluid in it because it seemed like it was slipping a little bit, and I couldn't see any leaks or anything. But the strange thing is that I noticed that my oil was getting higher and higher and higher. And I know it sounds totally crazy, but when I changed my oil, it completely overflowed. You know, like there was 10 quarts in there.
Yeah, because you were adding the transmission fluid to the oil, to the engine oil.
It seems like it, but somebody told me that was totally impossible.
No. Oh, you kidding me? We do it all the time.
Wait, how did you add where did you add the transmission fluid?
Well, I didn't put it in the crankcase.
Maybe you did. Maybe you did. You wouldn't be the first one that's done it.
No, I put the tranny where the tranny fluid goes, you know, and the oil in the crankcase.
You pulled out the dipstick for the tranny.
Yep.
You put a funnel in there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. This is good. This could be good.
I put a lot of transmission fluid in this car. It's disappeared.
Well, geez, I mean, if you put a lot of transmission fluid in, you don't have a leak. I mean, there's no way really for the transmission to burn it. So if it ain't leaking out and you're adding more, but the level isn't going up, but the oil level's going up.
I have a solution. I have an answer to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You ready for this?
Yeah,
You got two problems, man. The transmission cooler line
is leaking into.
Oh, no, you
can't stick with me on this.
No, no, don't even go there. Don't even go there.
It's leaking into the radiator.
Yeah.
And he's got a cracked block.
Oh, he might as well. He must as well.
Head gasket.
Peter, fall on your sword, man. Life as you know it is over.
Actually, yeah. I can tell you that I did just notice something. So you might, you know, I think you might be close here, although somebody told me this wasn't the case. I looked in the radiator overflow.
And it's red.
And it was all brown. And I said, that's it. It's coming in my radiator. And some mechanic said, no, that's rust.
Well, it could be rust.
But it could be that the orange ethylene glycol and the red transmission fluid have turned, the leaves have turned to brown.
Oh, I don't like it. I mean, I don't like it. I don't like it.
See,
let me go back and ask you another question. You say you add transmission fluid to this thing all the time. Do you ever add engine oil?
Oh, yeah. Well, I change the oil.
But no, but between changes.
No.
But you say it's blowing smoke out the back. You blew smoke out the tailpipe?
Well, it does it two times. One, when you start it, mm-hmm. you get a puff of smoke.
And when you accelerate it.
If you happen to accelerate it rapidly.
Right.
I have stopped traffic with this car.
You have like 128,000 miles on this thing?
About. Yeah. Yeah, 130.
Yeah, well, I think you need a ring job, and I number one. And I think a couple of times when you weren't thinking right, Peter.
No,
you put that funnel in the.
Didn't.
No way.
Come on, Peter has been putting automatic transmission fluid in vehicles for 20 years.
Exactly.
He knows where to put it.
Yeah, Pete. Hey, what? We'll give us your address.
Are you in Lower Mills right now?
I am.
Can you drive over here?
Can you be here in half an hour?
Can you be here in half an hour?
10 minutes.
Yeah, we want to see this. We want to see this hole that you're putting the transmission oil in. And you're going to say, oh, what a dope I am.
Is this a new radiator or is this like ripping the engine apart?
Well, if my brother has a remote chance of being right, you need to have someone do a head gasket test. When that test comes out negative, then you got to go back to square one. But my feeling is occasionally you put it in the wrong thing, and especially if you're not adding oil to it. The oil level goes up and up and up. You called Exxon. They may want to talk to you.
Or call OPEC. They might want to talk to you, too.
Oh, I don't know, Peter.
Peter, but drive over here. I want to look.
All right. We'll talk. See you.
Thank you.
I mean, it isn't often that we can say drive over here. It's only fair that we should have him come over here because
the offer's open to anyone.
It's open to anyone.
From Cincinnati, drive over. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Nicoletta from Portland, Oregon.
Nicoletta. That's a nice name, isn't it?
Oh, thank you.
But if you should, do people call you Nikki?
No, they call me both.
Nicoletta's a very pretty name.
If I changed my name to Nicoletta, would people stop calling me what they currently call me?
No.
I would take Nikki. So what's up?
I have an 89 Mazda minivan.
Yeah.
I have an intermittent jolt that runs underneath my seat. And what this feels like is a strong heart palpitation kind of coming just like underneath my seat.
And how many times does it palpitate at a time? Like boom, 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 boom.
It's different. Yeah. And my kids are in the car, and the kids don't feel it.
And it's a series of bumps, like boom, 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 boom.
Well, it's kind of almost like a little jerking, like if you had gotten hit from behind.
Also, the vehicle feels like it wants to move forward?
Well, yeah, like a little jerk, maybe.
I've been called that. I think it's likely to be an engine miss, where you have, for a period of time, you have a spark plug that's misfiring. And when that happens, the engine will shake. And it can shake enough to cause even the exhaust system to hit the floor of the car, or just enough to cause a boom, 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 boom. And also make it feel like you're being nudged from the back.
So if I had a tune-up like 2 months ago, which I did.
Yeah.
But I'm just now feeling it.
Well, did we do the tune-up? Because if we did it, it couldn't possibly be that.
You had this going on before and after?
No, not before.
Not before the tune-up.
So I can take it back to the guy and say, now I'm feeling this, and you guys did a tune-up. You should take it.
Well, it's not going to be easy for him to find because it does it so infrequently.
No, but I mean, it does it every day.
Well, then have him drive it for a day. Leave it there and tell him to drive it.
She can't leave it there. She's got three kids. She's going to leave it there.
They have soccer games.
She's got soccer games to go to.
Well, next time
it's dance classes, ballet, hockey. Come on.
All right. Sorry. I lost my head. Well, take him for
I can't leave this car. No way.
You have to go for a ride. And do you think that if you sat in the passenger seat that you would feel it?
Well, you know, I've got different age ranges of kids.
Yeah, that was my question.
And a big kid. The big kid even says she doesn't feel
it. How big is the big kid?
Yeah, 16.
Oh, so she doesn't feel it.
And the little kid, 7. And the little kid, 7. And he thinks I'm nuts.
Well, all 7-year-old kids think. Yeah. The 16-year-old probably thinks you're nuts, too, but she hasn't told you yet.
No, she just feels sorry for you. That's why she hasn't told you.
She thinks you're so nuts that you're beyond hope.
Well, I would say...
She's just embarrassed to be in the minivan.
Yeah. First of all, I don't think I'd be worried about it.
Now, oh, okay.
But I would try to get this fellow to drive it, the fellow who works on it, to drive it, and with you in the passenger seat, even if you don't feel the thumping, he may.
Uh-huh.
And he may say, oh, yeah, okay, at least I know what it is now. And okay. I'm gonna suggest to you that you tell him that it's an engine misfire.
Okay.
Good luck, Nicoletta.
Right. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks, you guys. I love you.
Call. Bye-bye.
Good luck to you.
All right, Tommy, do you remember last week's puzzler?
Wait a minute. I don't know if I remember it or not. Did it have to do with Ricardo Montalban and the case of the missing shoe?
It did! No, it had to do with Bill Gates and the mysterious coin flip.
Heads, I take over the world. Tails, I just get 4 continents.
Something like that. I'll have the answer in just a minute. Stole a car just the other day. 65 Chrome, 10 shades of gray. Deluxe mow with leather inside. Couldn't do better, baby, if you tried. Take for a little ride. Stole a car. And even though mayors in at least 2 villages look up and say, are we missing our idiot whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
Which was?
This was one of my series of coin toss puzzlers.
This is the first in the series.
With Bill Gates thrown in to kind of obfuscate matters, but Bill Gates has a place here.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah,
because he recognizes the power of the power
of
two.
Exactly.
Anyway, here's the puzzle. A fellow finds himself at a party at Bill Gates' house, standing next to the great man himself, and Gates says to him, hey, how many people do you think are here? The fellow looks around and says, geez, I don't know, 1,100? And Gates says, that's right, you know, you're very good with numbers. Are you into games of chance, by any chance? Oh, no, the fellow says, the chanciest thing I get involved in is tossing a coin. Gates says, well, do you think you could toss a coin 10 times in a row and call it correctly every time? The guy says, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Gates
either.
Says, well, do you want to make a bet? Because I can do it. After all, I'm Bill Gates, and you're not. The fellow declines. No, I don't want to make a bet. I don't think I can call it 10 times in a row. I don't think you can either. But I need the cab fare to get home, so I don't want to bet.
Uh-huh.
Gates says, do you think there's anyone in this room who could call it correctly 10 times? The fellow says, I suppose there's a chance, but it's a pretty small chance. Gates says, I'll tell you what, I'll bet there is someone who can call it correctly. And here's what calling it correctly consists of. If I toss the coin, I can call it, and if I'm right, that's a win for me. Or if I toss the coin and you call it incorrectly, that's also a win for me. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
So Gates says, tell you what, I'll make you a bet. I'll bet you my $10 million to your $10,000 that it can happen in this room, that there's one person who can win 10 in a row. The guy says, you're on. Was he right to take the bet?
He's right, but he's going to lose. Because it sounded very good. Maybe he just wanted Bill Gates to feel good. I mean, the guy's probably got an ego as big as Cleveland. Cleveland, as big as Australia, maybe.
Maybe.
And if the guy didn't fall for his little trick here, then Bill Gates might have lost a little of his self-esteem.
Well, anyway, Gates is going to win his money.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because it is going to happen, and it must happen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say out of those 1,100 people, we take for the sake of convenience, 1,024 of them. Just a number I picked out of the
Just a number you picked out of the hat and by doubling 512.
And let's take that 1,024 people and make 512 pairs of people.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. And each one of those pairs will do a coin toss. Well, obviously, one of them is going to win.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have 512 winners.
Yeah.
Okay? And conveniently, we take those 512 and we divide them into 256 pairs now.
That's a nice number, too.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
And, of course, we're going to have 256 people flipping coins. We're going to have
128 winners.
Son of a gun!
Isn't that something?
And you do that 9 times.
Yeah.
And you're down to 2 people.
Mm-hmm.
And inevitably, one of them is going to win.
Mm-hmm.
So of those people that played, you had 2 people that wound up doing it correct 9 times
mm-hmm.
and one person who had to do it correct 10 times
exactly.
in a row.
Right.
And Gates wins
and
his
that's
money.
What it, that was his bet.
Then wins all the time, man. Getting sick of it.
I'm just sick of it, too.
Who's our winner?
The winner is Mark Keim from Valparaiso, Indiana. And for having his answer selected at random from among the thousands of correct answers that we got, Mark is going to get a $25 gift certificate to the store at cartalk.com. And with that $25 gift certificate, he can get, among other things, a T-shirt that bears my very own motto, Non impediti ratione cogitationis colloquium chorus.
Yes, I remember it well. It's your motto, so to speak.
Which, of course, translates to unencumbered by the thought process.
Anyway, stay tuned for the new puzzler. In the meantime, you can call us and ask us a question about your car. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Reed from Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, way over here.
You know, I learned an interesting
thing. Yeah, we have to stretch the string a little tighter.
I learned something interesting about Portland, Oregon.
What's that?
You know that it almost was named Boston, Oregon?
Wow.
You probably don't know this little bit of history.
I didn't. Where'd you learn a little bit of history?
I'm going to tell you about it. Portland, Oregon.
Before he starts, Reed, I want to say that already this thing sounds bogus, but I'll let him continue.
You know, it even sounded bogus as it was coming out of my mouth. But it's true. Watch this now.
Go ahead.
Portland, Oregon, as you may know, Reed,
uh-huh.
was founded by 2 men from New England.
Mm.
One of the men was from Portland, Maine, and the other one was from Boston, Massachusetts. And they flipped a coin to decide which name to use for the new city they were founding in Oregon. And Portland won. Were it simply for the flip of a coin, you could be calling from Boston, Oregon, right now. And I'm sticking with that story.
Okay.
Boy, it sounds just bad enough to be true.
See?
Well, maybe.
Like my puzzlers. Anyway.
Well, I'm sure that there's some historical society there in Portland, or Boston, if you want to call it that.
We'll call it Boston.
And I'll bet you they'll corroborate this story.
Well, I'll look into it.
We may have to have you on Stump the Chumps. Anyway, Reed, what's shaking, man?
Well, I've got a transmission problem with an 89 Audi 100. And the problem is, like 95% of the time, the car has to warm up for 2 or 3 minutes before the transmission is going to shift out of first gear into any of the other gears.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been doing it for like 5 months.
And you've checked the fluid, of course.
I've checked the fluid.
Have you ever changed the fluid?
No, and that's what I thought about having transmission fluid flushed. But then some of the shops I've talked to have said, you know, if you do that, you have a 30% chance that you're going to flush out of your transmission some debris that might be keeping it running.
That might be making it work. It's running on the debris right now.
Yeah, that's the thing.
The debris theory.
It's a classic theory.
Yeah, I mean, no shop wants to be responsible for your not being able to drive out.
Yeah.
We have run into this a few times, and we always make people sign a document that says, considering the
being of sound mind and sound body,
right, and considering the serious nature of the problem with your transmission. It's entirely possible that having driven in, you may have to be towed out.
Yeah.
You know, so I would say that there's a very good chance that you should save your money on the transmission flushing and devote all of it to the transmission rebuild. You must have 145K on this thing, right?
That's 200.
200.
Yeah.
It's been my dad's car, and he's taken it to the Audi shop regularly, so he takes really good care of it.
And you've had it for what, 6 months?
Yeah, 6 months.
And it started breaking the month after you got it.
Right. You ruined it, basically. It was a perfectly good car. Dad gives you the car, and you drove it into the ground.
Exactly.
In a month.
In a month.
Yeah.
Typical son.
So you think then it's not that there could be a potential for debris or whatever?
No, I don't. That is such a bogus.
So why not get the transmission flushed right now?
Why not?
As long as you're prepared and have the financial resources to get it rebuilt if it doesn't work the day after tomorrow.
So that means that you are buying into this debris theory?
Buy into it. I wrote it.
No, the debris theory is completely bogus.
No, it's like the theory, you know, they say never put a battery on the floor when you charge it. You'll suck the concrete floor.
Suck the life out of it.
There's no scientific evidence to support that.
There isn't.
No, and there isn't any scientific evidence to support the debris theory either. However,
it all has to do with bad karma.
It has to do with empirical evidence.
It does.
And it may be that in those few cases where we've seen transmissions fail, they were going to fail anyway.
Yeah.
And flushing them out had no bearing whatsoever on the future of that transmission. However, it's hard to dispute observation.
And the myth does exist. I mean, the myth is there, and it's very difficult to get rid of myths like this.
Especially when you have people like myself promulgating these myths, misconceptions. So as long as you've got the money, Reed, to fork over for a rebuild, then do whatever you think is best. All right?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
He doesn't know what to do. We have not helped him.
All right, Reed, we're going to tell you, go and have the flush done.
Okay.
That's my recommendation.
Are you crazy? What are you, crazy?
Be a man, Reed.
I think you have to face up to it.
Your father will be proud of you. I mean, he's already ticked off because you wrecked the car, but now give him a chance to be proud of you.
Show him you got the courage, the guts.
The guts to wreck the transmission even further.
Exactly. Good luck, man.
Thanks.
Hey, call us and let us know.
Okay.
We're trying to perpetuate the myth.
Well, have your lawyer call us. See you, Reed.
We'll have him talk to you.
Bye.
Thanks.
It can't possibly hurt. It can't hurt.
He'll be walking by Monday, I'm telling you. 1-888.
I have you in a cab by Monday.
1-888-CAR-TALK.
I can have you on public transportation in Portland by Monday morning.
That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Melissa in Washington, D.C.
Hi, Melissa.
D.C.
Yeah.
Are you a politician or a lawyer?
No.
Okay. Are you aspiring to be one?
No.
Okay. Are you married to one?
Nope.
Do you want to be married to one?
No.
That's not strong enough. You should have said absolutely not. Hang up. So, Melissa.
Around here, my chances might be limited to one of those, though.
It might be. So,
well,
move out of town as fast as you can. What's up?
Well, I actually have been driving with my door tied shut.
Ah.
I have a 1988 Honda.
That's a movie, isn't it? Door tied shut?
Should be.
Tom Cruise.
Well, you know, that does bring you back to your roots. I mean, everyone should at one point in his or her life
drive.
It's humiliating.
It's good.
It really grounds one. Yes, it does.
It does. And everyone should do that.
And getting into contorted positions in the grocery store parking lot to get in and out the passenger side door.
Yeah, especially if you have a stick
really
shift.
Bad.
What kind of a car do you have?
It's an 88 Honda Accord.
What do you have it tied to? The back door?
It's really, I don't even want to tell you. It's tied from the seat, like the neckrest, to the seatbelt. Like the seatbelt.
I love it.
And it's hanging open, actually, half the time, too, because I can't get it tied tight enough.
So the dome light's on all the time. You have to take the fuse out for that. The thing's going ding, ding, ding. The seatbelt's dragging on the ground.
Yeah, the beeping has been very, very challenging. I've been driving from Annapolis to D.C., you know, back and forth each day listening to the beeping the whole time.
Yeah, and this happened because of an accident.
No, it didn't happen because of an accident. Oh. I bought the car used 2 years ago, and the door always, like, didn't really close straight, but it wasn't too bad. And after 2 years of slamming it shut, it's kind of, I guess it's worn out the
latch. Yeah, you may have worn out the latch. And the hinges may be all worn out, so the door is sagged down even more.
And the latch is kind of, actually, the metal is almost ripped out of the screws.
You know what I mean?
Geez. It doesn't look good.
Well, you've got to fix it because this is very dangerous.
I know. That's why I always feel like when I'm going faster on a corner that the door is going to get enough momentum to swing open and pull the seat out with it because
it's tied to the seat.
Yeah, and so are you.
I know.
So are you. Wow.
I know. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So how long have you been driving with the rope?
Well, I haven't been driving that long because my boyfriend was actually driving. He drove with it for like 3 weeks because his truck was broken down, so I took the bus and he used my car. So I've only been doing it for like 2 weeks.
Ah.
What do you do in Washington, D.C.?
I work at a magazine publisher.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh.
And your boyfriend?
He's sort of a scientist. He works out in Maryland on doing experiments on the rivers of the bay.
Oh, never mind.
On pigeons?
What?
We don't need to know any more about him. That's enough. Okay.
Except for the few we take home to experiment.
Working on the riverbanks. Okay.
All right.
Well, I was just curious. I mean, I had no real reason
Melissa,
for that.
Melissa, how much rust is on this car?
Not much at all.
Yeah.
You got it.
What do you think?
You could obviously try to fix it yourself, but without the benefit of seeing it, it's going to be tough for us to recommend what you should do.
Mm-hmm.
You could take it to a body shop, and there are body shops and there are body shops. There are some that will do a job and make it work, maybe functionally okay, but not make the thing aesthetically pleasing.
Uh-huh.
So they may have to go at the door with hammers and chisels and whatever to get it to close, and it may be ugly when they're done, but it may be perfectly safe and functional.
Uh-huh.
And then there are body shops that'll do everything correctly.
Uh-huh.
So you'll want to stay
away from them.
Okay.
You may want to stay away from them. Then there's always welding. You could weld the door shut.
No. I don't want to use the passenger's door anymore.
Yeah. I don't know if I would recommend having your boyfriend do it. Because you're never going to trust that it's going to work.
There will always be this lingering doubt. Is this the turn on which the door... No, right now, don't forget.
Right.
The door is at least tied shut.
Yeah.
After he fixes it and pronounces it fixed, you'll have to rely on his ability solely to keep the door closed.
Right.
And I'll tell you, the fear and the anxiety will gnaw away at you to the point where you will never, ever again make a right-hand turn.
He's been pretty good in the past, though.
Well, he's a sort of scientist, and you can't trust him. They're too theoretical, you know?
Yeah, once they think they have the explanation for something,
they keep saying, well, it should have worked, and I'm going to miss Melissa, but there are more fish in the sea, he'll say, and goodbye, Melissa.
Here's what you do, I think. You take it to a body shop and ask them to give you an estimate. If they tell you they can fix it for $100, fix it. If they tell you, look, it needs a new door, well, then your boyfriend can do that.
Okay.
You can buy a door and unbolt the old one and put the new one on. Of course, it'll be a different color.
Right.
And if you haven't already destroyed the latch and the striker, you may be able to get by. But you can go to a junkyard and buy all that stuff.
Yeah.
Or just swap to the whole car.
Right.
You see a nice A8 Accord with the door on it? Say, I'll give you $50 for the door and the car that it's attached to.
Yeah.
And I'll give you my car in return. But do fix this because what you're doing now is dangerous.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if there were to be an accident and the crew was trying to extricate you and the door doesn't open because you get it tied to the headrest, that's no good.
Yeah, that's not good.
I mean,
okay.
See you, Melissa.
Thank you.
Get right on this.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
But it does... See, now duct tape is a real good thing to tie a door. All right. Before we take any more calls, I think we have to give out the new puzzler. And before we give out the new puzzle, we have to do what?
Steel ourselves, gather up our strength.
And to do that, we need what?
Brains.
And what else?
More coffee.
You got it. We'll be back with the new puzzler and more of your calls in just a minute, so don't go away. We'll be right back. And even though NPR's structural engineer calls for removal of a key load-bearing beam just under our studio whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Yes, let's go.
This required, I would say,
a fair amount of declarification and obfuscation?
Just
a smidge?
A smidge, yeah.
Okay.
Here it is. This was sent in by a fellow named Rob Derrick, and relatively recently. Never mind. I was driving down south through Texas on the way to visit relatives who had recently moved to Austin. I hadn't been to Texas since I was in the Air Force in basic training at Lackland Field. Anyway, it was as I remembered it, the usual long, dusty, and mostly empty Texas roads that crisscrossed the whole state. And I had not been paying much attention to the roadsides off to the side of the main highway we were on. They were mostly country road numbers when one sign off to the left caught my eye. It was Gulf Road. So I mused to my wife and my kids, hey, maybe they're going to open a golf course out here in the middle of nowhere in this godforsaken godforsaken wasteland. Or maybe Mr. Golf was some famous, hero from Texas's great history. Maybe he was at the Alamo or some such thing. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, later we passed another road sign, and when I saw it, I announced to the family I knew what the name of the next road after this would be. My wife was skeptical. How could two completely unrelated signs, Gulf Road and this other one that I had just noticed, and
predict
the third street that we were going to encounter?
Yeah.
And sure enough, we encounter that road a few minutes later, and it's exactly as I had predicted. Now, I will mention there are two possible answers to this puzzle.
Doesn't matter. We'll take them all.
There are two possible answers, and this is loaded with hints. If you were paying attention.
I was paying attention.
No, you weren't.
I may have looked like I was dozing off.
No. I saw you counting your mustache hairs.
Yeah.
So if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard.
What do we have to give you? The name of the street?
I want the names of the streets.
Oh, both of them.
Yeah.
The one that he saw and the one that he predicted.
And I want both sets of answers. No, you can be either set is acceptable.
Yeah.
Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or in the back of a $21 bill and send it. We're missing out here, guys. This $21 bill isn't working.
Well, I got the answer to this. We convert to euros.
Oh.
Send it on the back of 20 euros.
There you go.
And now the gift certificate is for 25 euros.
This could help your upcoming European trip. Send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt02238, or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. But right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, call us at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Jason. I'm calling from Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Jason?
Yeah.
What's up? Colorado Springs.
Yeah. So what's going on, Jason?
Well, it's not a problem so much as it's kind of a general question about manual clutches. What I drive isn't too pertinent. It's an 89 Mazda 626. It's a manual. I've always had manuals.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm kind of clutch savvy, I suppose. So if I'm pulling up to a stoplight that's on an incline, instead of actually, putting on the brakes and putting it in neutral, I'll actually creep up and I'll leave it in first and I'll balance the clutch and the gas.
That's bad.
That's what I wanted to know.
That is bad.
Oh. It is.
How many miles have you gotten? How many months have your clutches lasted? Well, it may surprise us to find out that they've lasted a long time.
It's lasted. I just went past 100, 2,000.
100,000 miles?
102,000 miles.
Right. Well, obviously, you don't do this very much, because when you do this, what you're doing is you're counteracting the effect of gravity. Gravity wants to pull your car down the hill.
Right.
And you are using the clutch to engage very slightly the wheels, okay, to make the car try to go up the hill, and you're balancing it. So gravity's trying to pull you down the hill, and you're creating just enough friction between the three pieces of the clutch.
To hang there.
To hang there, and that's the time when the clutch wears out the most, when it's not fully engaged. Because when it is fully engaged, that is, when you're driving down the road and your foot is off the clutch, those three pieces are turning in unison. The three pieces being the flywheel, the clutch cover, and the driven disc. And the driven disc is the one that's made out of a very soft material, like asbestos.
Ah.
And of course, the driven disc is made to wear out so that you don't destroy the other two. But when it wears out, the car no longer moves. And the way you wear it out is by doing exactly what you do. But you must be good at it, or you're not doing it often enough to burn out the clutch, because that's a killer.
You can't be good at it, because the more good you are at it, the more you're wearing out the clutch. But it is a nice little challenge to be able to find that point, you know, because it's...
It feels good, doesn't it?
It's a matter of the clutch, the position of the clutch, and the amount of fuel that you're feeding to the engine. Mm-hmm. And you can reach that point where you have that balance so good.
There's a certain zen to it.
There is.
Yeah.
You feel
as
though, how can this be wrong? It just feels so right.
Yeah. You're just... And it's just sitting there. It's not rocking forwards and backwards. It's just sitting there.
You could use up a clutch in about an hour that way.
Depending on how long the light is.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so don't do it, man.
Well, that's why I called you guys.
Yeah, it's a very good question.
All right.
I'm glad you called.
Thanks a lot.
See you, Jason.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Katie from South Deerfield, Massachusetts.
South Deerfield. I knew that, too.
Deerfield.
Because I've heard of Deerfield.
Really?
And that's, like, way out west, like near Texas.
Not quite that far.
No, no, it's near Tennessee.
But it's near... near what? Like
Williamstown? Near Deerfield Academy.
Is it near? Yes. Is it near Williamstown?
No, we're about an hour east of Williamstown, on the other side of the mountains.
There are mountains?
The Rockies.
Well, yeah, small hills.
The Rockies?
Yeah, it's on this side of the continental divide.
So you're like near Denver.
Well, more like Lincoln, Nebraska.
I have no clue about the geography of this country. You know, it doesn't really matter.
No,
as long as there's AAA and triptychs, they will tell me that
triple
I'm
A,
not
triple
in Lincoln.
B, whatever it takes. I mean, they'll get you there.
Whatever it takes. So why did I spend so many years in grammar school learning where the states were and what their capitals were? I don't care.
Well, you know why? Because you never know when you're going to be called upon to be a Jeopardy contestant. I mean, it could just happen just like that.
It could happen.
You could be in one of those Jeopardy talent searches, and next thing you know... And wouldn't it be an embarrassment?
Yeah, well, it would be to think that Lincoln, Nebraska was next to Deerfield, Massachusetts.
It would be. It would be. Anyway, Katie, it's been a real pleasure.
Well, thank you.
So what's up?
Well, I'm calling with a question about a piece of information that I was given. Mm. And I'm a little embarrassed because the person who gave me this piece of information is actually standing outside of the door of the room that I'm sitting in right now.
Oh, really?
I haven't told him that I'm calling, so
okay.
I may be getting myself in trouble right now.
Let's not tell him.
We'll make it quick.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. I'm in an outdoor leadership program, and one of our days in school we were talking about gear and about stoves and about different kinds of fuel you can use for stoves. And I have a camp stove that uses white gas.
Yes.
And I've had this stove and some gas for it for many years, like, I don't know, 4 years or something, and I can no longer use it in the stove because it's too old. One of my instructors told me that, who's standing outside the door, that told me that I didn't want to throw the fuel away, and he said, well, you can just pour it into your gas tank and of your car.
If it's not good enough for your crummy stove, you're going to put it in your $20,000 car?
Well,
you get the idea, though.
Yeah, I get the idea. That was what he told me. Now, I have to tell you, I talked to my father about this, and he told me to make sure to tell you that he said that I could go ahead and pour it into the tank of the car as long as I had a lot of marshmallows handy and ready to go when the car blew up.
Well,
great.
But now, that's my question. I don't know if I don't want to ruin my car.
Why has this this fuel, which is not gasoline really, it's camp stove fuel.
Well,
comes out of the ground like
no, no. It does. It's a little higher up with the distillation.
There's a diesel. There's 89 octane, and
right.
there's camp stove fuel.
But this
right.
comes in a container. If I'm not mistaken, sold
is it
by...
a little? Is it above whale blubber or below?
It's above. Sure it just comes in a container, sold by somebody like Coleman.
Yes,
and
exactly.
It says camp stove fuel, and it's also oh. the same fuel you'd use in your Coleman lantern.
No. Coleman lanterns. Well, the ones I know, they use propane, which is like a pressurized fuel, and this is white gas, which is unpressurized, and it's just like a really clean burning fuel.
Well, that's what this stuff is too. The Coleman lantern that I have mm-hmm. uses a liquid fuel that enforces that fuel onto a gas mantle, a little cloth thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, and you accomplish that. And the reason you have to pressurize it is that the mantle's above the tank.
Mm-hmm.
And then it won't go uphill unless it goes up under pressure.
And you got a little
right.
pump.
So you
on
pump
it.
The thing. So right. this thing, however, works by gravity. But it's
what, the stove?
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose. But
so
it's
the same.
But it's still a different kind of fuel.
You sure?
I'm positive.
I think it's the same stuff. I mean, they wouldn't make two different. What a pain in the butt that would be.
Well,
are you going to have pack mules carrying this stuff in for you?
This conversation bears a striking resemblance to the call we got about
the electric brakes. I understand that, but I do have some small experience in this matter.
In camping?
Yes.
You have experience in camping?
I have experience.
Just because you walked through the Muir Woods once,
I do own one of these Coleman lanterns for hurricanes and other such disasters.
Of course.
And I have this container that Katie has. Okay, with the same fuel, I believe, that you would use in either your lantern or the stove. I think it's the same stuff. And it can also be substituted with white gas.
Okay, that's what I have, white gas.
The only reason I bring this up is I have had the same can of this stuff in my garage for about 25 years. Mm-hmm. And every time there's a hurricane,
Fire it up?
I open the can, I fill up the Coleman lantern, I replace the two little mantles. And the thing works like a dream. And I've never...
So you're telling her that her instructor basically...
Is what?
I'm trying to
say this. And the only reason I haven't thrown this stuff away and replaced it is it seems to work all the time, number one. Number two, I wouldn't know where to throw it if I were going to throw it. And I certainly wouldn't throw it in my gas tank.
Of your car?
Of anyone's car.
Okay. So you don't think that I should pour this old gas?
Well, I mean, why not just do an experiment? Find out if this guy is correct.
On my car?
No, on a lantern and on a stove.
I don't want to destroy my stove either.
You're not going to destroy the stove.
No, the
worst
thing you
can
do is plug up the little orifice through which the gas comes.
Yeah.
I think you just try it out and say, by the way, Mr. whatever your name is, Mr. Rogers or Mr. Smokey the Bear, I think you get your head up your keister on this white gas issue.
Trust his opinion on the camping stuff, though.
You may not be justified in trusting him about anything.
Well, let me tell you that this is how it starts. My wife used to trust me on everything. They catch you once or twice.
Yeah, and then that's it.
Well, I should ask him if he's done this with his car, because I don't know.
Well, pour it in his tank. No, I think
that's what I'll do.
The real question is the stuff any good at all, and I think
right.
you should try it. You got to try it. Do both things. You got to put some of it in the stove and light it up, see if it works.
Well, we happen
and
to
you
have
put the rest in his tank.
We happen to have in our presence,
yeah.
Mr. Doug Mayer, who just narrowly escaped passing through the digestive system of a wolf after taking a long trek.
He walked from Boston to Canada.
Yeah, he took the long trail in Vermont. If you're familiar with this. This goes from someplace in Vermont, which we don't really know the name of, to someplace in Canada, which has no name,
yeah.
and back. But during this time, I mean, he's had a million times more camping experience than any of us has had.
Okay.
And he has used these stoves, and his opinion is...
What is your opinion?
Wake him
up. His opinion is...
He's rendering an opinion now. He says, the stuff lasts forever.
Really?
Yeah, worst that happens, he said, is you have to clean the stove.
And that's not so bad.
If anything, I would certainly risk the stove and not my car.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way.
Yeah, and I certainly wouldn't put it in my car, so I would say stick with the stove. And like I said, I've had the same can of this stuff forever.
Mm-hmm.
And every time there's a power failure, I fire up my Coleman lantern. Why do I fire up my Coleman lantern?
Especially since you just bought that generator.
Well, this is
wait.
The...
Do you use white gas in the generator? No, you use Sunoco. Don't you?
Generator won't start.
The gas gets old, you know.
Gas
you can't leave the same gas in there all the time.
No.
It plugs up all those jets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well. Okay. Well, Katie, it's been charming.
Thank you very much.
See you later.
Okay. Bye.
Oh God. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
I have.
No, you've contributed to the wasting. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher-Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman-Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical... spiritual and menu advisor, just back from the Tenafly Pizza Ply, Pork Shamai, Flounder Fry, Salsify, and Takeout Thai, stop on by, is John Bugsy Lawler.
What a guy, huh?
Our public opinion
what a guy
is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Oteka Shower. Our rocket scientist is Chet Propelled. Our overnight bus driver is Borden Drowsy. Our ranch foreman is Hyman Old Cowhand. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by our staff librarian, all been heard before. Our PR director is B. Esser. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz, who are the proud parents of a teenage daughter, Sasha Payne Diaz, and a brother in the military, Major Payne Diaz. And they have a dog, too, Toto Payne Diaz. And, of course, the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the out-of-work philosopher kings in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and above all, don't drive like my brother.
And below all, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. We hope. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1442, download other not horrible Car Talk episodes, and check out our high fashion clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week on the web, an advanced class in killing time.
That's right. We know that the internet has only one real purpose. Well, two, but we're not going to talk about the other one. The main purpose of the web for us is to help you kill time at work.
Right. We're at your service.
That's why Car Talk's Facebook page is particularly active during regular business hours.
So make this week an unproductive one.
Yeah, wander over to Facebook this week and spend a little time at the Car Talk page. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the Cambridge Wildlife Department decides to relocate a flock of Canada geese to our front lawns whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.